lot, but never a message on what I'm going to preach about tonight. So if you're visiting for the first time, you picked a good night to come. I hope that the Lord will give you something special. I just thought about this week while I was out in Texas, and it kept coming on my mind, And I thought, well, Lord, if you want me to preach on that, then you show me. And I started running some references and things like that. And I'm going to bring you this message this evening. So you pray for us. And it's going to be kind of a little Bible study type preaching, a little slower than I usually do. And I'm going to have a lot of scripture in it. But I don't want to have you to turn to all of them, because we'd take forever. So you can write them down as we go along. There's over 80 references of scripture to this subject tonight in the Bible. And that's mentioned more than a lot of things that we think are real important. 80-something things. 80-something times are references. Genesis 37:19. Joseph's brothers looked at him when he started coming down to them that day, when they were conspiring against him, and they said this. And they said one to another, this is Genesis 37:19, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Joseph was probably the most famous dreamer in the Bible, him and Daniel and one or two others. And he had these dreams all the time. And that's what I want to preach to you about tonight. Behold, this dreamer cometh. And I'm going to preach to you about dreams. About dreams. The Bible has a tremendous amount to say about dreams tonight. And if you'll stay with me for just a few minutes, Lord dealt with my heart about this week, and I put this message together, and I found out that in the Bible there are four different kinds of dreams, let's say, and I'm going to give you an introduction in a minute and go through them all. We're going to go through what the Bible, what I call, my outline is famous dreams, and then we're going to see in the Bible some foolish dreams. In the Bible tonight, there is such a thing as, number three, false dreams. And we'll show you the scripture for all of these. And then finally, and the one that you'll dread getting to, but it's true, it's in the Bible, we'll see what the Bible says about filthy dreams. And the Bible covers all these subjects here under the subject of dreams. Have you ever wondered what a dream is? People ask me all the time. They say, "Brother Danny, does God give us our dreams?" And the standard answer to that is, there ain't no way in the world He gives us all of them. Amen? You know all your dreams don't come from God. And we'll get to that in just a moment. What are dreams? Where do dreams come from? Do they mean something? Let me ask you a question. Are they in color? Yes and no. Some people say yes, some people say no. They are. Because when I started studying this week, I started keeping up with my dreams, and I dreamed in color this week. I never noticed that. I dream all the time. I dream every night almost. I lay down and took a nap this evening and I dream. I'm going to tell you a lot of my dreams here in a few minutes. So I looked it up in the encyclopedia, and I figured what man said about it. I figured it's about what I figured, what they'd say. Men say that your brain gives off electronic waves, and you get in this stage of sleep. There are certain stages of sleep you get into at night, and one stage of sleep that you get into is called REM, which means rapid eye movement, and like little pictures are flashing on your brain. And there's when this happens is when you dream. I used to hear when I was little that dreams only last a few seconds, but in the encyclopedia it said that if a person sleeps 8 hours, that it's very possible for them to have 10, 20, and 30-minute dreams during those times and dream up to 6 hours of that eight. And that's why I reckon you get up sometimes tireder than you was when you went to sleep. Lord, you've worked all night. And I'm going to tell you where they come from. I've had people ask me. Let's deal just for a few minutes with that. What I want to call famous dreams. Now, there are some famous dreams in the Word of God. No doubt about it. And most of the famous dreams are in the book of Genesis. Now, you don't have to turn to these, but I want you to notice something. I want you to notice, as the Word of God was completed, there wasn't near as many dreams. There's a whole bunch of them in Genesis. But as boy, as that Scripture began to collect, there's a lot more Scripture and a lot less dreams. I mean, there's a lot of them, but nobody didn't pay no attention to them. They wasn't much. And by the time you get to the New Testament, it's just very few. There are some in the New Testament who's famous. If you want to write these down, I won't have time to go into all of them. But briefly, Genesis 20 and verse 3, there was a man named Abimelech, a king, who had kidnapped a man's wife. And brother, he was going to take this man's wife to be his wife, because he didn't know that she was that man's wife, because that man was about half backslid at the time and lied and said that she was his sister. You know that story. And he said, who is this woman? Oh, she's my sister. And he said, okay, bring her here. And he was going to take her in there and marry her. And that night, the Bible said that God spoke to that man in a dream. Sure enough, God spoke to that man in a dream, and he said, you better not lay one hand on that woman, because she is another man's wife. Bang. Just like that. That's a famous dream. He said, you're a dead man, buddy. Next morning, that guy got up. He said, hey, get this woman out of here. I almost got killed on account of her. Why'd you tell her she's my sister? And he says, well, us modern Christians believe it's all right to tell a half-truth. She is really my sister, but I just didn't tell you that she's my wife. That means them kind of half-truths ain't true at all. They're lies. Amen? Well, in Genesis 28:12, probably the one of the most famous dreams in the Bible, write it down, is the one called Jacob's ladder. And old Jacob was out in the wilderness one time. He laid down to go to sleep, and he got a big rock for his pillar. Now, I'll tell you what, there ain't no reason, ain't no wonder he had nightmares, man, or dreams there, sleeping on a rock. I've had some of them in hotel beds. I go in hotel rooms a lot, and the pillows are never right. They never are right. They never right. They're either too fat or they're too skinny. Sometimes I pile up two of them, then I put three of them. If you've got two beds, you got four pillows. And I get all the pillows in one bed. I say, I'm going to tear up both these beds every day and get our money's worth. And I pile them up there, you know, and they're too fat, too little. And you dream. You always dream when you're sleeping in a strange place, seems like more. That's what Jacob did when he dreamed about the ladder that reached all the way from earth to heaven. That's a famous dream, amen? But it was God revealing himself to him. That old King James scripture tell you what that ladder was. He said, you saw the angels of God ascending and descending, ascending and descending on that ladder. And Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 50 and 51, hereafter shall you see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. After all, who is it that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father but by me. After all, who said if a man try to climb up some other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber? It was him, a picture of the Lord in the Old Testament. Genesis 37:5. Joseph dreamed and told his brothers. Genesis 40 and verse 5. This is a famous one. The butler and the baker. That was always a weird story to me. That was always a strange story. The butler and the baker had a dream. And they dreamed that, a bird landed on one of them's head or something. Oh, that's a crazy dream. And they had done this, you know, and he said, Pharaoh's going to lift up your head. You know, and he'd jerk him out. Sure enough, man, lift up your head. Back in them days, didn't mean do like this. It was off, gone, done away with. And that dream was fulfilled. In Genesis 41:1, the famous dream of Pharaoh about the corn stalks. And he had these little skinny corn stalks fell down before the good corn stalks. And them little seven well-favored kine, K-I-N-E, that means cows, little bitty skinny ones and then big fat ones. All those represented 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. Those were all revealed to people by dreams in the Old Testament. And then, of course, we move over into 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, where God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And he said this, ask what I shall give thee. And he said, anything you want, Solomon, you've got. That was a famous dream. Not many people had a dream like that. There's a lot of them tried to think they did, but that's the only one we have recorded where God came to a man at night and said, just ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 45, boy, they had one there, son. They dreamed that big stone cut out of that mountainside. And one of them big stones cut out without hands came crashing down the hill, hit that image there, and that image, boy, began to crumble. You know what those images represented? World kingdoms. Greece and Media, Persia, you know, and all them down through there. And the dream meant that one of these days there's going to be a kingdom that's not made with hands. And that kingdom is going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And it's going to be a rock that's hewn out of the mountainside. And it'll smite every other kingdom in this world. That's some dream that boy had. I'm telling you what. Then we move over into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Do you realize that it was an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream when Joseph was getting ready to get rid of Mary because he thought she'd been messing around and he found out she was pregnant and he said, I'm not marrying her. She's expecting a baby. And the angel of the Lord come to him in a dream by night. Here's Joseph laying there asleep, you know. Why didn't God just talk to him in the day? Why did God wait till he's asleep? Joseph laying there sound asleep. The angel said, Joseph. And he said, yes, Lord. And he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What a dream, man. What a dream. In Matthew 27 and verse 19, there was another one. When Jesus was being tried here, the Bible said that Pilate will have the power, humanly speaking, to either release him or crucify him. And Pilate had the rule over him. We know it was God that had ultimate power, but humanly speaking, Pilate was the man in charge. And Pilate's wife come to him that day. And she said, buddy, don't you have nothing to do with him because I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. That's one time when a man would have done well to listen to his wife. Listen, boys, they ain't always wrong. That's for you big macho Christian boys. They're not always wrong. Most of the time, but not always. He had done well to listen to his wife. Sometimes a woman's got more spiritual sense in her little finger than a man's got in his head. Amen? You know that's true. Some of you men wouldn't even be sitting here tonight if you didn't have a good godly wife that prayed for you and kept pushing you all the time to do right. Boy, she said, you better leave him alone. That's the smartest advice he ever got, son. She said, I've suffered many things in a dream today. Daydreaming, huh? Because of him. Yes, sir, I don't know what she dreamed. I don't know what she dreamed, but it suffered because of him. I remember one time I had a dream, and people ask me all the time, do you believe God still speak to us in dreams? And let me just say this. Some of you are going to disagree no matter what I say. So since I'm preaching, I'll just tell you what I think, and then if you ever get to preach, tell what you think. Amen? Free country. I want to tell you this. I don't believe in any dream or vision or revelation has anything to do with God if it's one bit contrary to that book. No, I don't care if you've seen 99 angels in your bedroom and they told you that Buddha was the right God. You tell them to go back to hell where they came from. That book's the word of God and it don't. That don't mean God can't give us impressions in the night. Tell you what I dreamed one time. Now, you know, I don't know if it's maybe from the Lord. I tell you one thing, if it wasn't from the Lord, it was the closest thing to it I'd ever had. I dreamed that I was just a teenage boy, and I was walking down Hoppetom down there where I live, and I was almost in the road, and I was walking down the road like this. Boy, it's one of the most real dreams I've ever had. I was walking down the road like this, and there was a snake crawling down the road beside me. This snake was about that big around. It's a black snake, but he was as long, at least twice as long as this building, this way, at least twice. I mean, that thing looked like a quarter of a mile long. And he was just crawling along. His tail was way back there. His head was way back there. I was walking along like this, and he was walking along like that. I hadn't been saved very long when I dreamed this. And I was going along there like this, and that snake was going along beside me. And in my dream, somehow I stopped. You know how you're in a dream and sometimes when you're in a dream, you're in it. But other times it's like you're watching it on TV or something. You know, you ever had a dream where it's like you're out of it, but you can just, you're like watching it on a screen. That's why Daniel said, I saw in a dream. He didn't say, I had a dream. He said, I saw a dream. He had it like on a TV screen in front of him. But in this one, I was in it, man. And I stopped like this, right in my tracks, and I reached in my pocket and pulled out a little box cutter. And that's a little thing where you flip up a little switch like that, and a razor blade comes out of it. And I picked that thing out, and I just flipped it up and looked at it like that. And it was like in slow motion or something. And I bent over like that, and I went, cut that snake's body. And when I did, I'll never forget, as soon as I sliced him like that, I looked up there and I saw his head. He stopped just like that, and his head raised up and turned around at me like that. And I went, whoa. And he started coming toward me, and he's about that high off of the ground like that. His head was, his body was still on the ground, but he's just like, he looked like he's doing 30 miles an hour right toward my chest. I mean, he was coming, and I was like this, and he got right to me, and I jumped out of the way like this. And he went way down this way, and he got stopped, and I saw his head turn back around like this. And he started coming right at me again, and I saw him coming this way, and when he got about right here, I jumped out of the way again. And then he come down there, and it was just back and forth, and back and forth. You know, I woke up. Boy, it wasn't about the next day, son, that thing hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, my soul. I said, there was a time in my life before I got saved that I was just going along the course of this world, going the same way the devil was. I wasn't bothering him. He wasn't bothering me. Me and him was going the same place. Me and him was going down the same road. But one night, as an 18-year-old at Nebo Baptist Church, I stopped. And suddenly my feet stopped, and I said, I'm not going that way anymore. And I reached out and got something that's sharper than any razor blade that this world's ever seen. And I went down and I went, with him like that. And boy, his head turned around at me, and it come after me, and he's been out to get me ever since. And every time I dodge, he goes way down there. The Bible says resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen. It takes him a while to get turned around, or to come back and get you again. But I want to tell you what, that's all I've been doing for 20 years, is just jumping back and forth. Whoa, well, there he comes, look out. That's all I've been doing. Get him again, and letting him have it with a sword. Those are what we call famous dreams. Let me say secondly tonight, foolish dreams. Open your Bible to Job 33. Job 33. And in Job 33, we're going to see what the Bible calls foolish dreams, or what I call foolish dreams. Job 33, the Bible talks a lot about stuff like this. And the Word of God said here in Job 33 and verse 15, said this. Job 33:15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Boy, look at this. Look at verse 14. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Verse 16. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Now sometimes it's God speaking to a man when he's like that. Other times, it's just somebody dreaming something foolish. Sometimes it's just your thoughts are all mixed up. Have you ever had a foolish dream? I mean, stupid. I mean, ain't no way it could mean nothing. I mean, it's just crazy. Have you ever had a dream? This might just be me, but I guess I might have heard. Has anybody in here ever had a dream? I don't know what makes sense. Just wait on me now. Have you ever had a dream that you went out in public or something and you forgot to put your shirt on or something? Oh, man, that's horrible, isn't it? I hate to tell you what I dreamed one time, but I dreamed I was back in high school, and for some reason or another, I didn't have my pants on, for some reason or another. And I was sitting there about to die, saying, I just had underwear on, and I said, I ain't got my pants on. I ain't got my pants on, but I couldn't move. You ever had a dream like that? That's stupid. I don't know what makes a dream stuff like that. Anybody ever had one that stupid? Raise your hand. Okay. You know, you just forgot. You always have this fear of going out in public, you know, and maybe your pants busted or you know, just forget something stupid like that. I don't know what makes you dream stuff like that. I have no idea. I don't think the Lord does that. I don't think the devil does. I don't know who does that. You dream about somebody that don't like you. The other night, I dreamed about somebody's mad at me. Somebody's mad at me. This one preacher kind of aggravated at me right now. And I dreamed about him the other night while I was in Texas. And I thought, I just dreamed that he was looking at me, you know. And I thought, well, I don't know what makes you dream that. Just foolish, crazy things like that. The other night, this week, I tried to write my dreams down so I'd remember them, tell you about them tonight. Most time you forget them after less than 24 hours. I dreamed that we took Brother Bruce's car somewhere. And when we come back, it was completely covered with grease. But it looked like lard. It was white grease just covered all on the inside. And I said, he is going to die when he sees this thing. He's going to die when he sees this thing. Those are foolish dreams. Them don't mean nothing, I don't reckon. I tell you, everything's all mixed up. I dreamed the other night, this week, that a guy who goes to our church got busted for drugs. And the cops was after it again. I ain't going to tell you who it was. And the cops was coming to get this guy. I don't know what makes me have these crazy dreams. I never watched a TV show while I was in Texas. I never even seen a TV that I know of or nothing. Where'd that come from? The cops came and was coming after him with guns, and he ran out the door. And I thought, oh no, what's going to happen here? Crazy dream. One time I dreamed that I was in prison for shooting the president. I dreamed it. Not this president we got now. This was nearly 10 years ago. Not the one we got now. I dreamed that I was in jail and that I had either shot the president or they had accused me of shooting the president. And I thought, oh man, I blew it now. I said, I'm going to be put into death. They're going to put me in a gas chamber or something. Oh, my soul, my life is over. It's over. What did I do that for? It was awful. And boy, I tell you what, I woke up, and that was the best feeling when I woke up. I woke up and I said, glory to God, it's not true. You ever had a dream that you really thought it was true, man? And you've been waiting 5 or 20, 15 or 20 seconds before you could really believe that it wasn't true. I said, glory to God, whoa, it's not true. And boy, it was like the Lord gave me an illustration on that. Say, listen, I was condemned one day. I was on my way to judgment, brother, on my way to hell and no way out of it. And the Lord died for me on the cross and saved me. And that's how thankful we ought to be. Free, just like a man getting off death row. But sometimes your dreams are all mixed up. You ever heard if you dream you fall off of a cliff, and if you hit the bottom you die? How many's ever heard that? Raise your hand. Now who figured that out? How they know that? Really, how do they know that? I reckon the only ones that's ever told it's one that didn't hit, right? I dreamed I ran off a cliff down there turning into Hoppy Tom. And I was coming down the road in my car, going real fast. And I couldn't make that turn. And I just went, zoom! And it was a cliff. And I was going, whoa! And then I woke up like that. I don't think I hit. How do they know that if you hit the bottom that you're dead? Whoever come up with that, I don't know. Might be true. I don't know. But who would ever, how would you even know for anybody to tell it? If they died, they wouldn't be able to tell. I dreamed I hit bottom. No, you couldn't tell it then. Those are what we call foolish dreams. Number three, take your Bible and turn to Jeremiah 23, and I'm going to show you what we call false dreams. False dreams. Jeremiah 23 has got some interesting light on this subject. And let's look here in Jeremiah chapter 23. And see what the Word of God says. Jeremiah 23 and verse 32. You don't believe there's false dreams? They sure are. Look at here. Jeremiah 23:32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams. See that? saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. There's some people just run around telling people, boy, you better not do this. I had a dream about you. You better not go that buy that car or that house or marry that person or go to that church. I had a terrible dream. Something bad's going to happen to you. Now you just take that kind of stuff with a grain of salt. God wants you to know it. He'd probably tell you. Reckon? Amen, brother. Let me show you one here in Jeremiah 23 while you're there. Jeremiah 23:25. Who's this sound like? I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. Man come running around this country years ago and he said, I have a dream. Wrong one, wrong one. Wrong one, buddy. Wrong one. If God gives you a dream, it's according to the Word of God, and it gives glory to God, not against the Word of God. Amen? False dreams. Have you ever had a dream, and you woke up, and you knew? I'm glad somebody's listening to me tonight. That's good when you got kids this little listening, man. That's good. That's good. That's the Lord blessing. You ever had a dream you woke up and you knew for a fact that somebody was in the room going to kill you? Whew, that's an awful feeling. One time they put me in this little trailer up north somewhere. I was out in the middle of nowhere. Didn't have no car. It was cold as ice. You know, and I was doing all that stuff on rock music and Satanism and all that stuff. And I was like waking up in the middle of the night. It's hard. I don't really know the difference between a dream and a nightmare. They say, don't complain about your dreams not coming true. Just thank God your nightmares don't. Amen? And I had these nightmares that these Satanists were coming in there and they was going to kill me and stuff. And I woke up, man, I was scared. And you can wake up so scared that you can't move. You ever woke up like that? You cannot move. You're wide awake, but your hand won't move. Your foot won't move. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Maybe, I don't know if that's something demonic, or I don't know if it's maybe your head's awake and your body's still asleep, or what kind of business that gets into. But I'll tell you one thing, brother, it sure does seem real at the time. It's a false dream. It's a false dream. You reckon that's from the devil? Let's look at Job 17. Job 7. Turn to Job chapter 7. Let me show you a few more verses of Scripture on this false dream. Job chapter 7. Let me show you another verse of Scripture here. Daniel said in Daniel 4 and verse 5, I saw a dream in the vision of my head, and it made me afraid. My soul. Job 7 and verse 14. Job 7 and verse 14. See it? Everybody looking at it? Job 7 and verse 14. Then thou scarest me with dreams, and terrifies me through visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. He said, Lord, you are scaring me to death with these dreams I'm having. You scare me. You terrify me. Years ago, I dreamed. This is one that sticks out in my mind. This is another one that you dream, like when you go out without your shirt off something. You ever dreamed you was running from something? And you're running just as hard as you can run. And no matter how hard you run, it keeps getting closer. And I was running from a big horse. This big horse was chasing me. This ain't funny, man. This was when I was pretty little. And it was over in the woods over above my house. And this big horse got after me, and I was just running as hard as I could run. And I looked back, and here it come. And I was running just, and I looked back, and it kept getting closer and closer and closer. And no matter how hard I run, it just kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Man, I was scared. And I said, it's going to just trample me. You know, it's just going to smash me in the ground. It's going to just kill me. And I woke up. Wonder what that was. I wonder what that was. They say if you put your Bible under your pillow, you won't dream. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that? I know people practice that. Now, that ain't nothing to that. Put your Bible. I mean, it's all right to hold your Bible. It's all right to lay it above your head and stuff like that. But, you know, the pages of the Bible are not magic. The Word of God is the Word of God, but it's not a magic book. It's a miracle book. But you don't do it. You don't wave it to ward off evil potions, you know, or rub it on you or something like that to get rid of diseases. It's what it says that's real and protects you. They said, well, if you put your Bible under your pillow, you won't have bad dreams, you know. And Deuteronomy 13:1. Let's turn to it, look at one more, and then I'll get to the last part. Deuteronomy 13:1. Here's how you can handle them false dreams. There's a lot of these so-called evangelists having dreams nowadays, telling you to do this and stock up all the guns you can get, you know, and store up a bunch of food because you're going to need it. Let me tell you something, brother. If God don't come get us out of here, your guns ain't going to protect you. What good is your guns against the United States government? Tanks and them Scud missiles and all that. You ain't going to protect yourself with guns. People say, they'll never get my guns. The best thing you could do, brother, if they ever down, is just throw them down and come out and say, I'm going to try to do the best I can and not get my family shot. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal. Don't listen to these dreamers. Look at verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, see? If he's trying to get you to do something contrary to the Bible, going after another god, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, then thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's why God lets these nuts come along every now and then, to prove you, to see if you're going to stick with the book. All right, here we go. Last part, Jude, the book of Jude, filthy dreams. Because you ought to be embarrassed. So let me low down as that. But what are you going to do about it? I've had young preachers tell me, they say, Brother Danny, y'all listen to me? You won't hear this preached on about once every 29 years, so you better listen to me now. You better get it while you can. Young preachers tell me a lot of times, they'll say, Brother Danny, what in the world's wrong with me? I'm saved. I'm right with God. I go to bed. I read my Bible. I pray that God will keep my heart and mind clean. And I go to bed and have a filthy dream. Well, let's look and see what Jude says. Jude says in verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. Notice something else about them. Despise dominion. Speak evil of dignities. You get the parallel on the notice here from verse 6. He's talking about angels that kept not their first estate. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and homosexuality and fornication and all these things. And then he says, filthy dreams. Where these filthy dreams come from? Now, in this context, this scripture here, these filthy dreamers, sometimes a dreamer don't necessarily mean going to sleep and dreaming. It's just dreaming like their life and their plans and that in that context. But if it's going to say filthy dreams, let's just talk about it for a minute. Sigmund Freud, who was a famous, I don't know what he was, some kind of nut several years ago, he invented psychoanalysis and stuff like that. And he said that dreams are really secret desires that you have. That is bull. That's not true. I never had a secret desire for a big horse to come running over and stomp me. Man didn't know what he's talking about. He's just trying to make an excuse for his filthiness, probably. Amen? Now, I heard of somebody one time, or I knew somebody who got real mad at their husband. this woman was jealous of this other woman at church because she thought that her husband was, you know, kind of like this other woman. And she said, I don't like you to be around her and talk to her and stuff like that. So the husband, one night the husband's having a nightmare or something. He calls this other woman's name. And he's saying, it was Debbie, that was her name. There ain't no Debbie in here. And he's saying, Debbie, Debbie, Debbie. And the wife got up and says, all right. And buddy, she was up getting her clothes out of the closet, son. And the man sits up in bed and says, Debbie, Debbie, I got it. I got it. I got it. And the wife said, you got what? He said, salvation. He didn't even know what he was saying. And she's about ready to leave him over his dream. Crazy, man, crazy. You say, where's that come from? I don't know where it come from. One man got real mad at me. He was going to beat me up one time because of the dream his wife had about me. I said, hey, man, I guarantee you one thing. She was dreaming. I can promise you that. But what about this? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you have to repent of your dreams? They said, well, no, you can't help it. And I'm like, well, I don't know if you can help it. I believe you can help some of it. I believe you can help some of it. Amen? Maybe not all of it, but you can. I believe a lot of your dreams are a result of your own wrongdoing and my own wrongdoing. Sometimes the things you do, the places you go, movies you watch, music you listen to does have an influence. Well, I know it. I know it for a fact. I mean, you know, if you're around a ball game, if you're around church, I dream about church a lot. Sometimes I dream I'm preaching. Sometimes I dream that I have to preach and I'm not ready to preach. And I think, oh, Lord, I don't even have a sermon. I know, and I'm just scared. Sometimes I dream that I get up here and there ain't nobody here but like two people. I dream about the youth choir. I dream that a bunch of our girls was up on the courthouse lawn. And we was going to sing or something, and they all just fell down like it was doing some kind of cheer or something. I don't know what makes you dream, man. I don't know what makes you dream, man. Sometimes you just daydream, you know. You just let your mind just float around. The Bible says, bring every thought into captivity. You're going to have to stay in that book and stay right with God in order. You cannot fill your mind full of the world all week long and the things of this world and then just walk in here expect 2 hours of church on Sunday to do you and make you spiritual. It don't work like that. Amen. Buddy, this thing, and as wicked as it is nowadays, Sunday's demons everywhere you go, everywhere you look, you got to continually pray. You got to continually stay in that book. You got to walk with God to stay right with God nowadays. You say, well, I'll just go to church Sunday and I'll be all right for another week. No, you'll be backslid by tomorrow evening if you don't learn how to walk with God. People's minds too much on the world. People's minds too much on the things of this life. People's minds too much on carnal things. I was preaching the other day. They took me to a school to preach. They usually do that. If there's a Christian school around, a lot of times they'll take me to preach. They'll say, do you mind preaching this school? And I said, no. And so I went and preached, and I really had a burden for them young people. Listening? Everybody listening? I really had a burden for them young people. And I said, God, do a work in their heart. And boy, I preached that day, and I thought maybe the Lord did something. I said, kids, you need to get saved. And I gave them some illustration. I said, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. And I thought, well, I'm through now, and I don't really know who's saved and who ain't. So I had the pastor to come and close the invitation. I said, kids, as serious as I could be, I said, if you feel God tugging at your heart, you come and tell the pastor. And that way I didn't want to, because, you know, pressure him or anything. And I thought maybe he could deal with them. And I turned the service over to him. I thought maybe God will really get a hold of them. Man, God's got their attention. So I got through. And we walked down the hall. And one of the girls come out and told the preacher over here and started whispering something in his ear. You know? And I didn't see her first night. You know, and then later I thought, glory to God. Maybe she's getting... He said, She come over and whispered to me, "Preacher, guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "All the girls think you look like Troy Aikman." That's Dallas Cowboy, you know, whatever he is, quarterback. They all love Dallas Cowboys in there. I said, "Wow, boy, I really done a great job bearing that sermon, didn't I?" This stupid thing sitting there wondering about, look like I said, don't. I thought, man, I'd really got your attention. You know what I found out? Some people's mind is so, they're so full of the world that they can't even get it on God in a church service. There's no telling what's been thought right here tonight. No telling. I don't even know if Troy Aikman might. Maybe he needs to get right and get called to preach. Maybe he's missed his calling. I don't even really know nothing about him, but I'll tell you one thing, brother. It's a lot of it's got to do with what's on your mind all the time. That's what's on your mind. Well, these three things that make you dream, according to what we've learned here tonight. There's God, there's you, and there's the devil. And they fall into one of them three categories. In Numbers 12, verse 6, God said he'll speak unto him in a dream. Job 7:14, I'll speak unto him again. As I said, these things fade out as time goes by. God gave some people some dreams, ain't no doubt about it. Number two, you make your dreams. I tell you what'll make you dream. A big load of pizza right before you go to bed. Tacos. Man, I go somewhere and they say, "Come on, preacher, we're going to take you out to eat." You know, they pay for it. Let me go and get spaghetti. Man, that, whoo. You want to see some visions, man. You're laying there and it's just a churning all night long. I'll tell you what does me is fish. Every time I eat fish, I go to sleep and I dream all kinds of crazy stuff. They're swimming. They're wiggling around. I don't know what they're doing in there. It's awful. Books you read, TV you watch, habits you have, does have an influence on your dream. You ought to cut out anything that's dirty or rotten, and then before you go to sleep at night, say, "God, you take control of my dreams, Lord, and you sanctify my mind tonight, my heart." And then the devil. Jeremiah 27:9, I'm closing. Y'all can come on and get us a song. Jeremiah 27:9. I don't know who in the world come to the altar and repent of having their dreams, but we're going to sing one anyway because that's a tradition. Jeremiah 27:9. Look at here. Jeremiah 27:9. "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters." All this is demons. Demonic. All this stuff is demonic. Enchanters, sorcerers, those are horoscope readers, these 900 psychic, oh, what's her name? Oh, Eric Estrada, and that old crazy woman that used to sing. Yeah, Dionne Warwick. Some of them people's cuckoo, man. The Bible said don't hearken to them. They're demon influenced. You say, "Well, I saw a psychic and he knew that the ghost on the Queen Mary sold something out. That's a demon on the Queen Mary, if there's anything on there." And the Bible puts these dreams right in the same verse with these demonic spirits. So evidently, some of them come from the devil. But I know one thing. The Bible said, bringing every thought in the captivity of Christ. And even when we're asleep, you don't have to wake up backslid if you go to bed right. And stay right with God. All right, let's stand by our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of looking into your word tonight. We know it's the final authority in all matters, faith and practice. I pray tonight that we as Christians will commit our minds, our souls, and our bodies to thee. Pray, dear God, that you'd bless this invitation. Do what ought to be done. We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.